Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss, a question you'd like to pose, give us a call right now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We last year went through the book of 1 Peter and had a marvelous time doing that, made it available as one of our resources for 2017, and many people were very encouraged by the content, by the information on that video series that we produced. But one of the reasons I love this first letter of Peter is his conclusion. He comes to the end of his letter, and he says this: "By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God." So everything that Peter outlined in this first letter was a defense and a pitching of the grace of God. This is what it is. If you're going to talk about the grace of God, this is what we're talking about, the fact that we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he bore our sins in his body on that tree, that he, the righteous one, died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. All of that is the grace of God, and he has laid it out in such a beautiful way. And he's woven it into this fabric of everyday life. In this world, we're going to suffer, and certainly the Christians back in his day were suffering. And so how does the grace of God enable us to endure, to power on through that suffering that comes our way? And he gives that encouragement. And it's just a marvelous, marvelous letter. And that's why it's so relevant today. But here at the end, he says, this is the grace of God. I've exhorted you. I've declared that this is the true grace of God. And then he gives this encouragement: I want you to stand firm in it. Now, there's a lot of people that struggle when suffering comes because they have a foot in the world and a foot in the gospel. They're sitting on the fence, and they're not sure which way to go. So there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt because they've never come to the point and said, "Lord Jesus, I am yours, and you are mine." They're saying, "Hey, I want that, but I still like this over here." And so when that suffering comes, they don't know who to turn to, if Jesus is the one they can trust, or if they need to look to a worldly solution. And so instead of being transformed by the grace of God, instead of growing in the grace of God, they seek worldly solutions and find their Christian lives stymied. They're just not growing like they want to. And so Peter's encouragement is this: here's the grace of God, the fact that you've been born again into a living hope, that you have been redeemed, you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the fact that you have Christ living in you, the fact that you are a forgiven person, the fact that you are once were a dead stone, but now are a living stone, and that you are a piece of this temple that God is putting together called the body of Christ, that you have a purpose. You're part of this royal priesthood who have been called out of darkness into light, and you have that opportunity to lift your voice and declare the praises of him who did that, the one who died, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, to really connect you to God so that you can have that living, dynamic, vibrant relationship with God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden, that you can truly experience life to the full. That's the grace of God. Is there anything out there in the world that compares? Absolutely not. So stand, take your stand, take a firm stand in the grace of God. Let it be the very thing that defines you as a human being. And why that is so important, because Peter's going to write a second letter. And at the end of that letter, he's going to say, I want you to grow in grace, grow in the grace of God, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you're still sitting on the fence, there's no possibility of growing in grace. No. So you have to have that firm foundation underneath you. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have been born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to trust by faith that God genuinely loves you, and there's no greater love out there than the love of God, and allow that love to melt your heart and to produce a response of love back toward Him. You need to rest firmly in the fact that all of your sins have been borne by Christ Himself on that tree, leaving no punishment for you. You have to realize that all of your sins have been forgiven and that you are now a part of this royal priesthood. Stand firm in that truth. And as you do, then the next step is within reach, so to speak. Yes. You can grow in the grace of God, but you're not going to get there. You're not going to grow unless you're standing firm in the grace that Peter and Paul and the rest of these New Testament writers have proclaimed in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's good news from Basic Gospel as always, and if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd like for you to do just that. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Call right now, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and you can stay connected with us every day with the Basic Gospel app. You can listen live, you can send us a question, you can make a donation, you can do it all with the Basic Gospel app, and we hope you'll download it again today. Again, the number 844-322-2742. It's available right now, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to our friend Daron. Hi, Daron.
Hey, Bob. You know, that was very true what you said. You know, throughout the New Testament, you know, Paul and them, they say, you know, grow in the grace and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And you can't grow in the grace and knowledge who Jesus Christ is if you hold it with the law, because the law condemns. So there's no way to grow out of that.
Yeah, that's that's exactly right. You cannot grow if you don't know what you're planted in to begin with. And you know, part of this growth is in the renewing of our minds. You know, that's where real growth comes from, when my thinking gets aligned with the truth of the gospel. And so if my mind is out there in the world and dallying with the things of the world, then it's going to be hard for it to get in line with what Scripture has revealed to us about the grace of God. So if we're not sure that in Christ is where we want to be, and that we're you know, putting our foot out there in the world and saying, hey, This looks pretty good to me, then that's just going to lead to a life of frustration. So we really need to come to grips with what Christ has done for us and who He has made us in Him. And when we do, then we can see growth really take place in our lives.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've been looking at your sermon you did on the Lord's Prayer. I believe it was you I listened to.
Was it really good? I mean, the best you've ever heard? If that's the case, then it had to be me.
Yeah, I believe it was you. Because I'm going back and forth between you and Andrew Farley, and I'm hearing a lot of good stuff. So, I know one thing we have learned, and I've been taught, that you always have to look at it in context. And that's something I didn't know about, you know, when Jesus was doing his Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
I got that part. And it seemed like to me, he was breaking down the law, you know, at its full. Because, you know, the Jews, well, they knucklehead self, they were thinking they was actually keeping the law. So Jesus broke it down piece by piece. And the thing I want to teach on is when he went back to, you know, how this is how you should pray. And And I like what you said is that, you know, there was a condition that if you pray this prayer, forgive us as we forgive others our trespasses, that the Lord, if you don't forgive your brother who sins against you, the Lord won't forgive you. And I like what you said, what Jesus said, it's a condition. If you're out here forgiving everything, everybody that's ever done anything to you, if you forgive them, then you have a right to ask God to forgive you. And that's something they could not do. And that's something that we can't do. The law is always based on a condition. If you do this, God would do this.
Yeah, it's always old covenant language is always couched in terms of if, then. If you do this, then you can expect this. So that's the conditional aspect of it. And it's between two parties. This new covenant is just God's declaring what is, what reality is. And so when he says he remembers your sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any forgiveness of sins, that's reality. That's what he's declared to be, and he's brought it about through his once for all shed blood on the cross.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to tell people, you know, that was in, you know, under the law, under that context. Then also, every time when I go back to the old covenant, I always lead people right back into the new covenant, the finished work of Jesus Christ, so people won't get confused. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's we have the story of Christ. We have the life of Christ that we see. It just unfolds for us in such a beautiful way. But in all of that, you know, when he makes his public ministry, when he basically is presented and he says, "Hello, world," from that point, he's headed to a cross. And you see that in his life, in his teachings, in the things that he reveals to his disciples and to those that follow him. And finally, he gets to the point, you know, after he asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers. At that point, he says, "I'm going to make it really clear for you guys. I'm headed to Jerusalem. And when I get there, I'm going to be handed over to the authorities. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be all of those things. Then I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. But on the third day, I'm going to be raised back to life." That's what's happening. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
And Peter and those disciples did not really understand. They had no idea about the resurrection part because they just could not grasp that their Messiah, their Savior, would die on a Roman cross. They just never thought that could actually happen, although the Old Testament prophesied it. So they were confused, but he was very clear as to what was going to happen. So his purpose was always to point people to this event, the death, the burial, and resurrection, because everything turns on that event. Everything hinges on it. Everything changes when Christ died and when Christ was raised back to life. The old was gone. The new had come.
It has come.
So everything before was a part of Jesus preparing for that event. You know, there has to be prep work. There has to be a cultivation. There has to be a tilling of the ground. That is what Jesus was doing. How did he do it? Well, he showed the real purpose of the law. So he lifted the hood and said, "Hey, you see the outside of the car. I'm going to show you how this law car really works." And he showed the spirit of the law. And he really wanted to bring people to the point where when he died, they could die in him, so that when he was raised back to life, they could be raised in him to walk in the newness of life. So that was the prep work, to bring them to the point where they could see the need to die in Christ
for him,
to allow his death to become their death so that they could allow his resurrection to become their resurrection. Does that make sense to you?
Right. Yeah, yes, it does. He was showing them that you can't do this. You need me.
That's basically exactly right. You said it a lot simpler than I did.
Right. Yeah. Right. He was breaking down the law, letting them know these are my standards. Now I'm going to get to the heart of the situation. You think you're keeping them, but let's see what's going on inside the heart.
That's exactly right. Them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, Duran, I'm going to be in Temple on the 21st of January. Looking forward to it.
I'll be there.
Okay. Tell your friends.
Thanks, Duran.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great to hear from you. Friends, once again, we say thank you for the many of you, our listeners, who generously gave over this last year so that others could hear, believe, and live in the good news that we share every day on Basic Gospel. The good news that Jesus stood in our place, that he took the penalty that rightfully should have been ours at a cost that we never could have been able to pay. That he rose again, as Bob was saying, from death to bring to each of us what he and he alone as Lord could give, and that was, of course, the offer of eternal life. So that's the good news that we proclaim here every day on Basic Gospel, and again, we say thank you for helping us keep it on the air and online. Your love, your prayers, and your generosity will keep the good news going as we continue into calendar year 2018, right here every day on Basic Gospel.
Good news. And for those who are going to give in the month of January, we have a wonderful new resource called The Basic Gospel. And it's really a look at the essential truths that will enable us to grow in the grace of God and to grow in Christ Jesus. It's all the information on that is on our homepage right now. Just click the donate button. And if you give this month, we want you to request The Basic Gospel Essential Truths for you to grow in God's love and grace. It's one of our favorite resources that we've worked on here at Basic Gospel, and we're excited. I mean, not just a little bit excited, but really, even Richard.
Even Richard's excited, but I'll get over it. Don't fear not. No, this is going to be a good book.
Yes,
it really is.
Yes, we want to put it in your hands. So when you donate online or by calling the number, be sure and request just The Basic Gospel.
Yeah.
And we'll send it to you.
Yeah. But again, just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call to make your gift at 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a different shade on a question about Ananias and Sapphira. This is from Corey. I believe he's a pastor, and he would like an explanation for it, because he says, I hear many say that God is going to do this type of thing in our day to bring fear to the body of Christ. I'm not even convinced that this particular couple were believers. So what do you say? That's from Corey, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app.
Well, that story about Ananias and Sapphira is recorded for us in Acts chapter 5, and it's one of those head-scratchers. You read it and you think, wow, I don't want that to happen to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get frightened. Well, God isn't the author of fear.
No.
The Bible is very clear on that. He says that, you know, we have been given the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
We haven't been given the spirit of fear that makes us slaves again. We've been given this spirit of adoption. And so God isn't the author of fear. So what about this story of Ananias and Sapphira? What was God trying to teach to the church in that day? Do we know that Ananias and Sapphira were saved, or were they just a part of that group? Were they just wanting to latch on to some of that praise that
Barnabas got?
Yeah, Barnabas had gotten. What was the story there, Richard? What was really really going on, and what is our takeaway as far as that passage is concerned?
Well, Barnabas sold a piece of property and gave the money to the church in Jerusalem. And they used that money to help the widows and feed people. And, you know, because, you know, think about Jerusalem in those days. The Romans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Christians. And so if you became a Christian and you had been a Jew, chances are your family would disown you. Well, now you're homeless. You have no job. You have no support. And the church came together to support one another. Barnabas sold a piece of property, gave money for that purpose. And everybody said, wow, thank you so much. Well, Ananias and Sapphira said, well, we can do that. And so they sold a piece of property and held back some of the money, brought it in and said, here's the money. And Peter explicitly told them separately, the money was yours to do with as you saw fit. So if you only wanted to give us a dollar of the million, that's fine with me. But don't come in and tell me the dollar is the only thing you made and act like you're giving everything to God. That was the lie. The lie wasn't them selling the property. The lie wasn't them giving money. The lie wasn't anything other than them claiming that they were giving everything when they were giving very little. They wanted the praise. I think it's fair to say that. They wanted that praise. There's no indication that they were saved or lost. But people who do this sort of thing, if you believe that by their fruits you know people, when you see this kind of lying going on in the name of Jesus, now we're dealing with blasphemy. Mm-hmm. And God's not going to put up with that.
Yeah, and it's very clear. Peter asked this, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep yeah. back for yourself a part of the proceeds? It's interesting in Romans 6, we read how Paul says that when we've come to Christ, we've been identified with Christ, baptized, placed into Christ, identified with him in his death, his burial, his resurrection. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life, and that we become slaves to righteousness with hearts that are obedient.
Yes.
So that's part of the new creation. So the desire of the heart of a child of God is to be obedient, which means to trust the Lord. That's what a new creation in Christ wants to do. That's the desire of the Spirit. So our human spirit has been fused to God's Holy Spirit. We are one with him in spirit. And so at the core of who we are slaves to righteousness. We are obedient from the heart, and yet here it says Satan controlled the heart to move Ananias to do something that was against the way of the gospel. And when Ananias was confronted, he fell dead.
Yes.
That's all the scripture says.
Yeah, it does not say God killed him.
Right. Now, folks imply that.
Yes.
But that's not what the text says. So I think we have to realize that you know, this is just a story, and you know, God isn't going to start doing this in churches today, yeah. you know, to bring about fear. That's
not God's tool. No.
That's not God's tool. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Let's rest there and just offer the kindness of God and let that kindness make a difference in people's
yes.
lives.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners, who write to us, who call and leave a voicemail question. We'd love for you to do that. If you have something and we're not on the air, just call that same number, 844-322-2742, and record your question in your own voice. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel, perhaps even tomorrow if you call overnight. You can also drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can go to our Facebook channel and you can post your question there. Anyway, is a great way to communicate with us here at Basic Gospel, and we'd love for you to do just exactly that. You can also use the Basic Gospel app to post your question and do just about anything. You can listen to the live daily broadcast. It's a full feature, and we want you to take full advantage of it. Well, once again, everybody, please keep in mind that we are indeed, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we're grateful to each of those of you who believe in the message that you hear on Basic Gospel and who lovingly support it through your giving. And as you live in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that he will richly bless your gift through Basic Gospel. If you haven't joined with us yet to help share in this good news, well, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And when you do, we have that special gift Bob was telling us about just a little bit earlier. Again, 844-322-2742. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.